That's beautiful. Praise God for the worship of singing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you ready for the scripture tonight? Are you going to receive the scripture tonight? Hallelujah for that. I have three areas of scripture that I'm going to, and they've got them listed upstairs. Psalm, the 80th division, Jeremiah chapter 18, we read this morning that passage. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. And I'll be speaking to you on Make America Great Again. Sounds like we heard that this morning, didn't we? Maybe we'll rehash some things, maybe we'll add some things, but I just want to be led by the Spirit of God. There's no nation that God can't reach. If there is within that nation a cry, even a feeble cry for God, God will respond to that cry. Amen? It is not too late for America. It is not too late for this nation. It may be late. It may seem like it's too late. But he said, a bruised reed I shall not break, and a smoking flax I will not quench. If there's something that is rising toward God, God will descend to meet it. Your heart may be burdened down with everything you can think of, but if there's one section of your heart that is rising toward God, God's going to embrace that. God's going to touch you. The 80th Psalm is the first passage that we're going to read. And verse number 14 through 19. Let me give you just a little background on this. The earlier verses is rehashing, reminiscing how God had brought Israel out of Egypt. As it called it a vine. I'll just skim with you a minute. Verse number 8, you bought a vine out of Egypt. You cast out the heathen and planted that vine. Prepared room for it. You caused it to take deep root. It filled the land. That vine is Israel. Amen. The hills were covered with the shadows. The boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. Verse number 11, she said, this vine sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Verse number 12, the question comes. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they that which pass the way, by the way, do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doeth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doeth devour it. And verse number 14, we pick up our printed to our screen text. This is the cry unto God. We beseech thee, return. We beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted and the branch that thou mayest make strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, this vine. It is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand and upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. The next passage that I have is Jeremiah chapter number 18, verse number 7. Through 11. I read more than they had on the screen, but that's, you were able to keep up with me. Chapter 18 of Jeremiah, verse number 7. God said, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. Now, listen to this carefully. He speaks about these things. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. this is powerful. This is God saying, I determined to put judgment upon a nation, but if that nation were to humble themselves and cry out to me, it'll be a different story. Verse number 10, let me read again. If it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit it. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return you now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings straight. And they said, there is no hope. They were wrong. But we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of our heart. That's, I overread one verse, but that's what we... And finally, you know this verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14. The word of God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's hope. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we pray tonight that you would just touch us with your spirit and power, that glory can be brought to Jesus Christ. We praise you, we love you, we worship you, we honor you tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray that you'd be glorified in this service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There's no debate about it among intelligent people that America needs revival. This nation needs to turn back to God, and it really needs to do so quickly. I believe that we are in the most trying time, and I'm not being negative, that America has ever seen. There's a blatant disregard for God. There's no neutrality. Either you're for God or you're not. There's no middle ground anymore. And this nation has snubbed their nose at God. And people that are religious that don't know the Bible have a tendency to dismiss everything and say it's too late. They take scriptures like Thessalonians, where it said God said that in the last days there'd be a falling away. And they become pessimistic about the falling away. Well, and people equate that with low church attendance. They equate that with lack of discipline in our churches. But that's not what it's about. There's going to be a great movement away from the doctrine. But I'm not majoring on that passage of scripture, because there's a scripture in the book of Acts that says, in the last days I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Now you can go either route you want to. If you want to be with the naysayers, you're welcome to be. But I believe that God is greater than the times that we're living in. I believe God is sufficient for the times that we're living in. I don't believe we're going to leave this world beat down, crippled, discouraged, and depressed. I believe we're going to leave here shouting the high praises unto God Almighty. If I was to say one thing to people tonight, I would say your job and my job, number one, above everything else, is to make sure we've got oil in our vessels. Make sure that we've got oil in our vessels, because that's the key right there. There's these scriptures that I read to you. There is no passages in the Bible any more forceful than them concerning restoration. It tells me with no uncertain terms that God deals with nations. I am persuaded that God raised the United States of America for a specific reason, for a specific purpose. I am persuaded that the enemy of our soul has done everything possible to abort that person. Purpose. Christopher Columbus said, I'm going to where nobody's been. He didn't know the whole story, but he said, I'm going to set sails. He come across the place that had been hid from the population of the world called North America. God ordained it. Schools were built, Ivy League schools, Harvard, Yale, Brown, different schools, and they were all built, Princeton, they were all built as Bible study schools. They were built as religious institutions because the forefathers saw that they're going to need the Bible in the expansion of a nation. Am I talking to anybody? Hallelujah. And so therefore our nation was formed and formulated upon the Word of God. We didn't, in South America, the people went looking for gold and discovered. In North America, people went looking for God and discovered. There's no question about it. This nation has got a destiny. It's got a predestination of God to do great things. We're here to be the protector and to preserve her, as I said, concerning the nation of Israel. God holds Israel as an example. 70 souls ended up in Egypt, just a mere handful of people. But God said out of that 70 souls, a nation is going to come. 400 years later, 3 million people clustered together under the, and they were Jewish people. God blessed the people, multiplied them, and God said, it's time to go. I'm going to send you, lead you to the land of Canaan. And that's going to be your hand, your land, your property. And so God did miracles, opened that Red Sea up. You know the story. And he brought the people out of Egypt and planted them. He said, you're going to live in houses that you didn't build. You're going to eat from vineyards that you didn't plant. You're going to be prosperous in everything that you do. And 40 years later, they left the Jordan River behind and entered into Canaan. A nation called Israel. A nation under God. Am I talking to anybody? Hallelujah. And so God planted it in Canaan. God organized it. He structured it. He blessed it. And in Exodus chapter 19, he said, to prophetically speaking, he said, if you would honor me, if you will obey me, this is what I'll call you. I will call you. You are a peculiar people. You are a chosen generation. And wherein to show my love and my mercy and my goodness. Amen. Hallelujah. So God planted this place, this nation in Egypt, in Canaan, and God blessed it and God prospered it. But something happened in the process of time. That nation that God honored, called them my people. He didn't call the world's population his people, but this nation was spoken of as my people in 2 Chronicles. If my people, hallelujah. And he said, my people went down into Egypt. And so God spoke in a mighty way and prospered the people of God. And something happened in the process of time that is worthy of mentioning. The people prostituted themselves against God. They chose other gods rather than God. They worshiped idols. The people of God worshiped idols. The people that knew better worshiped idols. And God could have wiped them off. But God spoke to prophets, and God spoke to intelligent people, spiritual people. Cry out, they'll turn. They cried out, but they did not turn. Amen. God finally said in Ezekiel 37, go to the potter's house and look and see. And they go. Jeremiah goes to the potter's house, and the potter's doing the work on the wheel. And he said, I'll make another nation. He laid it aside. But God resurrected, God moved upon the people. In Jeremiah 18, he said, go down to the, Ezekiel chapter 37, he said, go down to the valley of dry bones. God specializes in resurrecting things. Amen. God's joy is not judgment. His joy is to see people raised up. God didn't come to put me down. God come to raise me up. I couldn't raise my own self up, but God got a hold of me. He said, David said, I was in a horrible pit. I was in the miry clay, but he reached down into that horrible pit and lifted me up, brought me out and set my feet upon a solid rock and put a new song in my heart, even praises unto our God. I'll tell you, God specializes. If you're gloomy tonight, if you're if your heart is heavy tonight, if your mindset is bleak tonight, let me tell you what God is not pushing you down. That downward trend is the devil. It's your human nature. But God is standing by to raise you up, hallelujah, to loose you and liberate you and set you back on the highway of activity. It's God's will that you be productive. It's God's will that you be powerful. It's God's will that you be anointed. And God specializes in pouring that spirit out. He said, I will pour out my flesh and my spirit upon all flesh. If you're without the Spirit of God tonight, God is waiting to pour. God is waiting to pour it out. Hallelujah. God is not going to measure it out with teaspoon cups. But he can I get a witness out there from somewhere? God says, I want to lift you up. I want to raise you up. I want the world to see that my people are not dogs. They're not laying down like slaves. They don't have the mentality of slaves. They've got the mentality of nobility. They're the heirs of God and the joint heirs of Jesus Christ. They're greater than the enemy. The enemy is not able to subdue them. The enemy is not able to overcome them. If you're overcome by the enemy, it's because you turn loose of God. Can somebody praise him? Would somebody just raise your hand and give him glory? Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. And God spoke to these people in the land of Canaan. And God said, what's going on here? He said, and they cried out to God. They said, you brought us out of Egypt. We were a noble vine. We were worthy of mention. You planted us. There's nothing wrong with that. You put us where you wanted us. You blessed us with the way that you wanted to bless us. And now suddenly you've taken your glory away. Suddenly you've diminished your power. What's going to turn your face again, oh God? Hallelujah. And God's saying, the problem is not where my face is looking. The problem is the activity of your life. And they were consigned. They said, this is it. But there's never a time that you can truthfully say, this is it. There's always hope in God. There's always power in God. And the people said, God, will you cry out? Will you? And so, are y'all with me? Praise God. I love my kashataya. And once in Canaan, that nation, that vine become corrupt, and God allowed judgment to fall, and the cry was, visit this vine. Bring us back to what we were. And my cry tonight in America to this community and to this congregation is that I'm not begging God to do it. I'm saying, God, fulfill your word. You said that in the final days you would pour out your spirit. We're waiting for it. We're going to amend our ways. We're going to cry out like 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are turned, we are Americans. I'm not turning to Washington, D.C. for my help. I'm not fussing about Mr. Trump. I pray. If you've ever prayed for, I got so many things. If you've ever prayed for an administration, you need to pray for this one. Every day of your life, you need to pray. That's what Paul said I pray would that men would pray everywhere for leaders and kings and presidents. Listen, Mr. Trump don't just have the establishment against him. He's got everybody in Washington against him. The news media, they're not cutting, and they're not going to cut him in the slack. They're gonna beat him down to the best they can. He needs prayer. He needs to know that there's a church in America that's holding his hands up. He may not be a right, but now the vice president, they were doing the toasting and moasting and all that stuff, but he didn't mess around with their toddies. He's a devout Christian man. He's not ashamed of his experience with God. And glory to God. Come on, Yashaka Bokoyanda. But this nation has sunk down to a point where the laws are abandoned. The rule of law is there's more murders. It's like a war zone in Chicago. The cities of our nation are places of fear and anxiety. Where is it going to end? I'll tell you where it's going to end. Jesus Christ is going to raise up a righteous church. All this nation needs to have to be brought to its place is the church to get back on fire for God. Am I talking to you? To get back on fire for God. Hallelujah. There's nothing that will substitute the place of the fire of the Holy Ghost. It will encourage you. It will exhort you. It will exalt the name of Jesus. Am I talking to you? So this nation, it had died. And they said, is there any hope for it? And they said, yeah, there's hope for there, and there is hope for, there's hope for America. Nations can die. In Daniel chapter 5, a nation died. Not just a group of people, a nation died. Babylon was defeated. It died in chapter 5 of Daniel. Belshazzar brings the golden goblets and the glasses out. Things that had been brought from the temple in Jerusalem and holy vessels. And Belshazzar had a feast unto the dignitaries of his day. He don't know it, but death was coming down the river. Death was going to come down and consume. And the river was diverted. And the gates were left open. Isaiah tells us about it in chapter 21. And the Persian army coming down, they were taking their time. They come down that night. Somebody left the gates open. And they come down because God saw that Babylon was not going to turn around. Was not going to change. And they went in and Babylon was destroyed that night and never rebounded. Ever. Never. Am I talking to you? Oh, hallelujah. Somebody help me out. Praise God. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. And Assyria come in. Oh, glory to God. Assyria come in mighty and powerful. And Nineveh, here comes Jonah. I'm talking about there were as much as dead. But God said, Jonah, your job is to raise that people up with the preaching of your word. And Jonah went running into Nineveh, and yet 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people believe God. Let me tell you something right now. If the preachers and the churches get back to God, the population will start believing God. We will start embracing God. We will start reflecting God, and we will start being blessed by God. God is waiting for a cry to come from his church. God is waiting for us to cry out, say, restore us, O God. Revive us, O God. Am I talking to you? I'm not talking about just carry us back to some decade. I'm talking about literally put the fire of God back in our hearts. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I want to see a move of God in our congregation like we've never seen. But here's where I'm interested. I want to see a move of God in my life like I've never had before in my, not just crazy stuff. I want to see God forge himself. I want to be capable of meeting the time and the challenges of the time that we live in. I don't want the carnality of this world to overwhelm the power of God that's in me. I want to be able to meet it force by force. Do you remember reading, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world? The greater one lives in you. The powerful one, the almighty God. God is not mighty. God is almighty. The almighty God dwells in you. I will dwell in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hallelujah. You don't have to whine. You don't have to cry. You don't have to grovel in the dirt. All you've got to do is call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. Hallelujah. Am I talking to anybody? And God bless. And God, Assyria was defeated. Nineveh, 100 years later, it was destroyed. It died. God had two tribes, a plural nation. He had 10 tribes in the north called Israel. And he had two tribes that was Samaria, Israel. He had two tribes in the south called Judah. And God warned Israel, Samaria. He sent prophets to them, warning them, if you don't straighten up, it's going to be over with. And they didn't straighten up. And so they were deported by the Assyrians, carried off. And they never, ever come back. Those 10 tribes never come back, repopulated. 100-some years later, Babylon come in and carried Judah away. You remember reading all that in the Bible? Carried Judah away. And then 2,500 years went by. Jews were scattered around the earth. A few of them would come back to Babylon, to Jerusalem from Babylon. But in the early 1800s, early 1900s, the Jew began to cry, I want a homeland. And they went through obstacles. They went through barriers and had politicians trying to help them out, but it was impossible. But God stepped in. And in around 1903, 1886, 1903, the politicians in England got together and they gave them the right to try to reach their homeland. And they were opposed. There was no nation. They were in ships, and there was no nation that would let them come into harbor. No nation. And so, therefore, to make a long story short, in 1948, the United Nations, the League of Nations, cried out and said, "We will give you the authority. You can go into your homeland." And they went in and they were organized as a nation May the 14th, 1948, Isaiah 66, 8, said a nation is born in a day. It was a miracle. And God said, "You will never be displaced anymore." And the United Nations, oh, I feel God. The United Nations said, "We're going to drive you out." And the American politicians joined with the clamor and would not stand up for Israel. And Israel was left alone. But I must say to you tonight, the best thing that's happened is for Israel to be left alone, because everybody's going to see it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit. God is going to protect them. He's going to come. He said, "They're in the hollow of my hand." He said, "If you mess with Israel, you're messing with the apple of my eye." Am I talking to you? Hallelujah. And so they were organized. There's a nation. And God said, "I will protect you. I will bless you. I will bless them that bless you." We blessed them. And in 1967, in June, 6 days of war, and Israel, with the power of God guiding them, with a ragtag air force and army. And today you can go through the desert out of Israel, out of Jerusalem, and you can see rusted out tanks where the Jews are leaving them so people can see the evidence of that 6 day war. Am I, hello church? And they overcame 21 Arab hostile nations, and they established their homeland. And God said, "You're never going to be again shut out again." Why? Because America is going to help you. And the man is in the White House tonight, not because he's a billionaire, not because he's an intelligent man, not because of all the social things. The man that's in the White House tonight is there for one purpose only. He is God's man to be a protector. Oh, do you? Hello? He's not going to mess around and talk out of the corner of his mouth. He don't have anything to gain or anything to lose. He's going to speak up for Israel. You watch what I'm telling you. He's going to be attacked by every power possible, because the devil sees the political scene, and the devil is saying, I can't turn him loose. I've got to badger him, hound him. I've got to pester him. I've got to torment him. But he is the protector through the power of God of the nation of Israel. Can somebody praise him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you right now, Israel is just as safe. There's people already saying that they're going to be defeated. They're not going to be defeated. They're not going to be defeated. They're going to be God's people. Am I talking to you, church? Hallelujah. Somebody praise him while I... Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. America, from a natural viewpoint, is in a dying stage. From a natural viewpoint. And I'm sure that I've done my part of saying it's over with. But when you pray and God begins to open your mind up to the reality of the power of the Holy Ghost and to the power of God, it's not a manner of just being reckless, but it's a manner of believing God's word. I know that this nation is a dying nation, but the best thing that can happen right now is for something to happen to make the church get back on her knees. There's nothing as powerful as a praying church. There's nothing as effective as a praying church. You pray and God moves. You don't pray, you move. That's the real issue right there. God said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall pray, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn," God said, "I will heal their land." God is waiting. God is waiting upon us to cry out. We need to, if there's ever been a time that we needed prayer meetings, if there's ever been a time that we needed to cry out and pray for people who are our leaders, it's this day that we're living in. If they're for God, if they're for the nation of Israel, then I'm not just up here beating the drum for Israel. It's biblical. It's biblical. We've done miraculous things in the last 5 or 6 years, many years, but particularly the last 5 or 6 years, we've done miraculous things that's unexplainable for helping Israel out. You heard Brother Utterback talking about our church, and it was you. You did it, and people, I understand people say, well, there's people in our neighborhood that need help. Yes, there are. Of course there are. But God specifically said, if you will bless Israel, I will bless you. The glue, go ahead and give him a praise. The glue that holds a church together is their attitude toward Israel. Do you believe that? I honestly believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. America needs revival. And if we pray and we seek the face of God, we will have a revival. A promise of restoration of the nation is repeated over and over again. I honestly believe that we are here because of this. And this political rigmarole that's going on, I on election night at about 8:30, I told people that day, I said around 8:30 or 8:45 tonight, you're going to see who's going to win this election. And the tide turned. Suddenly, it turned. And it's been, they hate the fact that Donald Trump won the election. They hate, and then Saturday, people from, they had parades and marches in cities of America. And it's like they're saying to the Christian people, we are going to exert our authority over you. Well, I say, our name is David, your name is Goliath, and we'll find out, does Goliath still fall the way he fell in the Bible? Amen? Hallelujah. In God, see, the thing about it is, it's whether they want it on our coins or not, whether they approve of it or not, it's still there. In God we trust. Amen? Whether they like it or not, we still use the term one nation under God. Whether they like it or not, we still see America. What made America great was that the stores didn't open until after 1 o'clock on Sunday. Blue law. Anybody ever heard? You didn't go out looking for articles and everything in the morning. Why? It was very simple. They're going to keep it open, keep it closed because there's churches on the corner. In the older days, at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, the local town churches would ring the bells, signifying it's church time. In the earlier days, they didn't have churches that had service at 8:30 so they could leave the church and go to the beach. I'm serious. And the few of the conscious soothed because they run by a 25-minute service. We don't exist for your convenience. We exist for your spirituality. And whenever we start doing things for the convenience of the people, I mean, that's when it's wrong. That's when we'll cut our service back because it's more convenient than you get home. I hear that so frequently that it's really bad. Well, we got to cut this out because we can't keep the people out late. Don't fuss at me. I grew up in a time we didn't worry about what time we got out. You stayed as long as God was moving and blessing. That's what made America great. Those kinds of attitudes. We prayed. We sought the face of God. We cried out. We prostrated ourselves. And then sometimes we leave the church and go to somebody's house. And fellowship, we wasn't gossiping. We had a spirit-oriented mind. Be led by the Spirit. Be guided. Be filled with the Spirit. Amen. In the earlier days, it was a reality. In the earlier days, we prayed. And I'm just laying everything out. And it's going to happen again. In the former days, we didn't just pray for people to get saved. We prayed for people to get sanctified. The reason why we've got so many crippled saints, abused children of God, is because they've never been sanctified. There's never been a washing, a cleansing. See, justification deals with your stand. Sanctification deals with your walk. If you're not sanctified, you don't have the strength. I know when I got sanctified. I know when I got free from sin. I'm not saying that when you're sanctified, I'm not saying you won't sin, but you don't have to. You don't have to. And we had a nation of people that loved God in their own way. They studied, they prayed. They didn't understand a lot of things about the Bible, but I'm around people that understand a lot of things about the Bible, but they don't live by it. I'd rather have a little limited knowledge and live by it than have a whole wheelbarrow load of knowledge. But in those older days, I heard Jeremiah say in the scripture, ask for the old paths. He's not just beating his gums. He's saying, look, you're leaving something behind that's valuable. You're leaving something behind that you ought not to leave behind. And that's the trends and the customs and the dedication and the consecration. The greatest thing that's needed in the church world is consecration to God. I'm talking about just moving in with all of your might. Become concerted to God. Become bound to God. Amen. We in the older times, we would just have church. I can remember many times. I read an article. I heard it also, but I read it 8, 9, 10 years ago. Said this was not from some novice. This was from pastors of mega churches, credible men, and they said the great tragedy of the Christian church was when they started separating the groups. What he's saying is you need to bring them all in the house. Let children see the move of the Holy Ghost. Let children hear interpretations and tongues given out. Let children be exposed. It's a blessing. They may not appreciate it. They might not understand it. But I can tell you days when you look under Pentecostal church pews and there'd be two sleeping over here and one sleeping over there. It was just, they just knew go ahead and sleep because we're going to be there for a while. We don't try to drag a service out just to say we stayed a long time. But we do not want to quench the Spirit of God. We do not want to just abuse and resist the Spirit of God. We don't want to be so sophisticated that we just lose sight of the raw, unadulterated fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I mean, the most that we get out of some people, I'm talking about America's going to, we're going to bounce back. I'm telling you, prophetically speaking, you can believe that this nation is going to rebound. This nation is going to, they're going to reflect God. And the way it's going to rebound is because the church is going to rebound. You hear me? The church is going to rebound. There's going to be a revival in the churches. It's not going to be a revival of superstars. It's not going to be a revival of charismatic craziness. It's going to be a revival of the congregation. There's going to be a move of God. I feel it in my soul. I want to be the great desire of my mind is that I can be a part of the revival. I want to take place. I want to be involved in it. Hallelujah. I remember it's been 10, 12 years ago. Three or four people, preachers got together and we drove a church van, one of the church's pastors drove the van, went to Cleveland, Tennessee to a conference. It was a two-day conference. And at 1 o'clock in the morning at the North Cleveland Church of God, there were preachers laying all over the floor that probably had never laid on the floor in their life. I'm looking here and I'm looking there, and then the next thing I know, I'm looking up. And nobody pushed me over. My knees buckled. And I went down. I wasn't trying to fight anything. And I just cherished those kind of, I'm talking about 1 o'clock in the morning. It was no quick fix and all. I'm decreeing it tonight. We're going to have revival. this nation is going to have revival. And the way this nation is going to have revival is when they see the church have revival. There's something magnetic about it. There's something with magnetism. There's something that pulls somebody was talking to me last week, just a few days ago, about a certain area. They weren't gossiping. I don't think they were. I didn't take it as gossip. They were being very sincere, and they were talking about different families left the church that they would. It was a Pentecostal church, and different families left. It wasn't in Washington, but different families had left this church and started. Many of them had started going to a Church of Christ. I am not fussing about the Church of Christ, so don't get misconstrued. I'm not slamming the Church of Christ. I'm saying, how is it that Pentecostal people can leave a Pentecostal church and go to a non-Pentecostal church and be happy? It don't make sense, does it? I'm here again, I'm being very honest. I can understand people leaving a non-Pentecostal church and moving into a Pentecostal church. We see that happen, and I thank God for it. But to go the other way, hey, brother, how you doing? Well, I'm doing good. You know, have you felt the Spirit lately? Well, no, we don't do that anymore. Amen? America is dying spiritually, emotionally. But there's going to be a turnaround. There's going to be a turnaround. Jesus walked in, and I'm closing. Jesus walked into that temple two times. One time at the beginning of his ministry, and one time at the conclusion of his ministry. And he did the same thing. Here's what I'm trying to drive home. When he walked in the first time at the beginning of his ministry, that temple had been misconstrued, misused. It had been abused. It had been politicized. And Jesus took a whip and straightened the place out, and children come in the temple. Children, they were singing Hosanna. And miracles took place. 3.5 years went by, and you would have thought that there'd be nothing in Jerusalem like it was. Jesus walks in the temple 3.5 years later, and he looks in the same thing. See, we have a tendency to revert back to what we were. Am I right? I mean, for 3.5, you would think that they would never sink back. That's why we try to have revivals, and that's why we try to do something, because we know the nature of humanity. It sinks back. There's got to be something motivating us. Amen? Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? I want to see our children saved. I want to see our families stirred and on fire. Hallelujah. There's nothing I could say that would touch me anymore than to see my son Phil, my daughter Phyllis, walking down. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen because God does not lie. It's going to happen because... But I don't just lay it on the altar and say it's going to take. I'm praying. I'm believing God. I'm not just praying for my children. I'm praying for your children. I want to see the next generation of the Alley Good congregation before I fade away. I do you hear what I said? I felt something when I said that. I want to see the next generation. I see some of the features of them. I see some of them around this sanctuary. But I want to see them. I want to see them radiant. Because as we die and pass on the glory of Jesus tarries, I want to feel consoled in my spirit. The church is in good hands. Amen. The church is in good hands. Hallelujah. Okay, without any music, anything, would you join me? Would you join me? I'm talking about America is going to be great again.